Judges chapter 16, we're going to read one verse, and that's verse 22. Judges chapter 16, verse 22. I have to preface this by saying this. I don't have to apologize, but I got to preface this. A few weeks ago, Beach Fork had a youth revival, had a tremendous youth revival, and our youth got to attend and actually be a part of that. But on Thursday night, Caleb Brown, their youth pastor, began to preach out of this specific chapter and on this specific man. And Colton Buckle is here tonight. He'll vouch for me, right, buddy? You better vouch for me. Okay. I leaned back and I said, when I preach this in a couple of weeks, I promise you I'm not stealing it from him. I've been working on it for a while. And he said, okay. So he's going to vouch for me. By the way, congratulations, Valley Indians, making it to the Final Four in baseball. Congratulations. Colton and Chris and also Landon's a part of that team. We wish our young people in this church specifically success, not only in the church world, but out in the world as well, because they are honoring God through what God is doing through them. And we appreciate that. Made to the Final Four in baseball. That's a tremendous feat for them. Amen. Is Gabe Morrell here? Gabe Morrell here this evening? He usually is with our youth group, but he was a part of the 4x800 relay team that finished second in the state yesterday for Northwest. So tremendous feat there. And then also congratulations to Memphis baseball there. Season ended last night, but they had a great run as well. We got some of them up there in the balcony. They've been coming in attending. I'm glad. Aren't you thankful God's using our youth in so many ways? And thank you for that. We congratulate them. Willisburg may have done something yesterday. I'm not sure. But I had to throw that in there. Amen. Better get to preaching. Judges chapter 16. And I kid about that. Judges chapter 16, verse 22. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. I know where I'm going. That's why I'm getting blessed already. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Any success or accolades that we experience in life only matter and actually only begin when we acknowledge that God is the source of that. Everything starts and ends by acknowledging God. We've repeated so often from this pulpit, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from who? The Father above. Everything you receive in this life, every blessing, young and old alike, always remember, never forget, it came from the hand of God. And if we don't acknowledge what He's done, He can easily take it away. And so, we have here, Israel is in a rebellious state. They have made it to the promised land, but the problem is they have failed to acknowledge the one that fulfilled that promise. And so now they're in a place where they're doing what is right in their own sight. They have no one to guide them. And here in Judges chapter 13 through 16 specifically, we have the birth and the life of a man by the name of Samson. And you'll find that in chapter 13, it states this, that the birth of Samson was to be the beginning of Israel's deliverance. Because they were not acknowledging God, and God was going to use the birth of Samson as a way to deliver them out of their backslidden condition. And so tonight I am, of course, preaching on Samson. But I encourage you to go home and read chapters 13 through 16 to get the entire focus of what this man is all about. Of course, we know Samson. It's been preached in this pulpit. Our pastor preached a tremendous message years ago on Samson. And we know that he was considered one of the strongest men, if not the strongest man, to ever live on the face of the earth. The problem was, even though he was a strong man, he was strong in every point except when it came to women. Now you laugh, but I've got a reason to where I'm going. I want you to look at the trap that he fell into. And you'll find out that if you study chapters 13 through 16, he had a wife, but it became his ex-wife, and she was a Philistine. Now, let me say this ahead of time. They were not supposed to associate with Philistines. Philistines were the sworn enemy of God. And yet Samson went and got a wife out of the Philistines, and they actually divorced, and she was given to another person. So his ex-wife was a Philistine. In chapter 16, you'll find that he went and got a prostitute who was a Philistine. And then the third woman in his life, the one that most people recognize, their name was Delilah. We don't know for sure if she was a Philistine by birth or not, but we do know this, that she was used by the Philistines to cause Samson to trip up and to fall. And we know that Samson, if you read your Bible, he was a Nazarite. And the Nazarite vow you'll find in Numbers chapter 6. When they were born, they were to follow a specific vow. And that included such things as you weren't allowed to eat grapes, whether they be wet or dried grapes. You couldn't have wine nor strong drink. You couldn't be around or touch any dead thing. And the most important one, not the most important one, but one of the ones that we recognize and are so familiar with, is you could not cut your hair. So this devotion to God, this separation, if you will, or this doctrine that he followed, albeit was good and what God had ordained, it could not satisfy the Philistine appetite that he had on the inside. The outside was good, but the inside was carnal. I wrote this down. He was a Nazarite advocate with a Philistine appetite. A Nazarite advocate with a Philistine appetite. He was living his whole life off of works. And what looked good on the outside did not suffice the appetite that was on the inside. Now you're all saying amen and you all agree 100% with me. But there are some of you I'm looking at tonight. You look really good on the outside, but you got a Philistine appetite. You say, what's a Philistine appetite? And I don't understand why, but human response to restrictions are, it seems like we have a problem with restrictions. And any time there are restrictions given to us, and sometimes when we are given over to something and told something that's forbidden, we have a problem and we want to go after that. It started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. God put a tree there and said, you can have anything you want, but don't touch that. And what did they do? They did exactly what God told them not to. And human nature follows this same pattern. We all have a problem with the forbidden. When you tell a child, don't go there or don't do this, what is the first thing they want to do? They want to go get it. And it follows it all the way into our adult life. And as much as Samson was consecrated to God by works, he had a carnal curiosity. Now you're all shouting right now, but you will hear in a little bit. But see, his problem though wasn't Delilah. His problem wasn't Philistine women. I mean, if you look at Delilah, Delilah gets a bad rap, but Delilah isn't to blame for Samson's fall. Let's look at it a little bit more closely. Delilah pressed him. We know what the Bible says in chapter 16. She just simply asked him where his strength lieth. You'll notice if you go home and read it very closely, she did not lie. She just simply asked him, Samson, where is your strength? We know she pressed them. We don't know how much she loved Samson or even if she even liked him. But what we do know, she was after a payday. I guarantee Samson liked her a lot more than Delilah liked Samson. And so, if you read it really closely again, she did not discover Samson's weakness. He disclosed his weakness. That's why Delilah is not to blame for Samson's fall. Samson betrayed himself. And Samson betrayed God all by himself. Why? Because he knew better. But even though he knew better, the Bible says one of the saddest verses, he told her all his heart. And I don't know if he thought that the vow that he took was so strong that he could do anything he wanted to do and expect to be okay. And a lot of people are living the same way today. They think that because of a certain doctrine or denomination or certain rules that they follow, that they're okay, that they can do anything they want and expect to make it. My friend, don't base your life on that. Base it on what the Word of God says. Oh, you're bound to do exactly what Samson did. And he told her all his heart. But here's the problem. Here's what it all boils down to. His problem was not Philistine women. His problem was not Delilah. Here is the main problem. When she asked him where your strength comes from, he should have said, my strength comes from God. And that's the problem. He publicized his gift instead of acknowledging God. And that's where the problem was at. His strength was never in his hair. His strength was never in the bow. His strength was never in the hair. The strength always came from God. You say, Brian, you got scripture for that? Yes, I do. I'm glad you asked. In Judges chapter 13, when he was moving around the camp of Dan, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In Judges chapter 14, verse 6, when he killed a lion, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In Judges 14, verse 9, he slew 1,000 men at Ashkelon, and the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In Judges chapter 16, he took out 30 men, and the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That's where his strength came from. And instead of acknowledging the source of his strength, he acknowledged the gift that God had given him. And my friend, any time you fail to acknowledge God, the gifts that he gave you, he can take away. The strength was not in his hair, it was in the Holy Ghost. And if you want the gift of God in your life, if you want success as young people, middle-aged and old alike, if you want success in this life, if you want anything in this life, the first thing you need to do is get filled with the Spirit of God and let the Spirit of God fill you and direct you and lead you and guide you. All is not unless the Spirit of the Lord dwell in you. Amen. Amen. And so, in verse 20, we have another sad scripture. Because the Bible says that when he had told her all his heart, the Bible says, the Philistines be upon thee, Delilah said. And he woke out of his sleep. And I said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And here's one of the most saddest, if not the saddest, portion of scripture in the Word of God. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You say, why did that happen? It's what I've been trying to tell you. If you don't acknowledge where your source of strength is, God is not obligated to tell you when he leaves. And isn't it sad that this man that was once filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, he was able to accomplish feats and strengths that no man has ever done previous or since. But when he failed to acknowledge God, the Spirit left him and he didn't even know that he left him. How can you have such a close relationship with the God of heaven and not know when he leaves? I'll tell you how. It's when you fail to acknowledge he's the one. He's the source of your strength. When you fail to acknowledge Jesus, he's not obligated to tell you when he leaves. And so, the saddest verse, he wist not that the Spirit had left him and knew not the sin of Samson. Here's the sin of Samson. The sin of Samson was simply this, that he kept God a secret. He didn't tell people where the source of his strength came from. And so in verse 21, we have what happens when you fail to acknowledge God. The Philistines took him, plucked out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Think about this. This is what can happen to you spiritually if you fail to acknowledge God. Here he is, he's now neglected God. And now he's at his lowest point. He's in bondage and he's in darkness. Will he ever get out? Will he ever have hope again? Does the God of heaven even hear his prayer? I don't know what he did while he was grinding at the mill. I don't know what he was doing when he was in bondage. I don't know what he was doing. All I can assume is that he began to call upon the God of heaven. And we find out later in Scripture, and I'll get to that point here in a moment, he did call upon the God of heaven. But something happened while he was in bondage. Something happened while he was in prison, when he was at his weakest point. And thank God, aren't you glad? Verse 22 is in the Bible. It says, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. Oh, after it was shaven. You say, Brian, that'll do much for me. I know it don't yet because you don't know where I'm going. But this is a beautiful picture of grace. Amen. This wasn't about Samson at all. This was about God. And when the hair began to grow, Samson couldn't see a hair, but he could feel it growing back. And he could say, Lord, I know now there's been a change. You say, Brian, there was a change in Samson's life. Oh yeah, I guarantee it. Why? Because the enemy didn't know what he was doing. The enemy should have pulled out his hair, but he shaved it off. Whoop, glory to God. Hallelujah. Whoa, the enemy should have plucked it out, but he shaved it off. And when you shave it off, it only takes a couple days before it starts growing back again. And when Samson fell up on his head, he felt the hair, and there was a change in his life. How do you know that, Brian? Because hair doesn't grow from the outside in. The hair grows from the inside out. And that shows me there was a change in the heart of Samson, and his hair began to grow again. And you know what he was, you know what I bet he was doing up there? Bub, he was reaching up there going, oh, thank God. He hasn't forgotten me. Thank God. There's been a change. That's the first point of the message. I got a long introduction. It's a short message. He changed. There was a change from the inside out. You say, Brian, how do you know that? Because it tells us in Scripture the change that had happened. Hallelujah. The Bible says in verse 28 that after his eyes had been plucked out. Now think about that. The enemy meant that for evil. But that was actually a good thing for Samson. Because what was the one thing he was tempted with? Philistine women. And God took away the temptation by plucking his eyes out. He couldn't see Philistine women anymore. Oh, you know, I need some Bible readers. Amen. God took away the temptation. So that, why did he do that, Brian? So not only that he could change, but while he was in captivity, he could change his focus. He couldn't focus on Philistine women anymore. The only thing he could focus on was the God of heaven who had given him his strength. You say, Brian, how do you know he changed? And how do you know he called on God? Verse 28 says, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. And listen now, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God. This was the only time in Samson's life that he asked God to strengthen him. And he had to be put in captivity with his eyes plucked out to get his focus rearranged back on the God of heaven. And he understood finally for the first time in his life where the source of his strength comes from. And he said, God, I know I don't deserve it, but would you at least one more time give me the strength? Give me the strength. I am weak, but in my captivity, give me strength. Hallelujah. There was a change. And in captivity, he changed his focus. And up to this point, see, they plucked his eyes out and the lords of the Philistines, you'll find in verse 23, they were bringing him in for sport. And the Bible says that they wanted to offer a sacrifice to Dagon, which was their god, and to rejoice. Because this one, Samson, that had been such a thorn in their side was now captured. And they wanted to bring him out for sport. And the lad brought out Samson in verse 26. And Samson's so weak, unable to walk. You can almost tell he's unable to even take a step in front of him. Asked the lad and said, would you put me between two pillars? Two pillars. And we can understand that those pillars were probably holding up the Colosseum or wherever they was at, the temple that they were at. They were responsible for holding that up. He said, I want to feel the pillars and I want to lean upon them. And the Bible says in verse 27, they were full of men and women. The lords of the Philistines were there. And they were up on the roof, about 3,000 men. And they were making fun of him, making sport of him. But what they didn't know, God did a work on him while he was in captivity. And he said, Lord, one more time, give me strength. We see the change, we see the captivity. But I've preached all the message just to get down to this point. I want you to notice the cleansing. The cleansing. Pastor preached about Jesus this morning, and he told us, and you find it all throughout the Old Testament, foreshadows of Jesus Christ. Foreshadows of the cross of Calvary. Foreshadows of the time to come where the ultimate sacrifice would be made for the sins of the world. And no greater will you see it than at the death of Samson. I don't know that you can say that Samson was a picture of Jesus in his life. You could probably find some there where you can dig some out, but he was no more like Jesus than he was at his death. You say, Brian, how's that possible? I found some interesting, concerning this cleansing. In Numbers chapter 6, you can go home and read it. It talks about the Nazarite vow and it gives them exactly what they're supposed to follow. But I didn't know this, but after studying the past few weeks, do you know if a Nazarite defiled their covenant or disobeyed the covenant that God had given them, you know what they were supposed to do? Shave their head. I ain't making it up. It's in Numbers chapter 6. They were supposed to shave their head as a sign that they had broken their covenant. But in order to get reinstated or to get grace. Now hold on. Now follow me. Don't go to sleep on me. You're going to miss the whole point of the message. In order to get grace and to be accepted by God, once their hair was shaven, then after a period of time, they were to go offer a specific sacrifice back to the temple. And that sacrifice, and you can go home and read, is very specific. It's not just bring a lamb and it's done. It was a specific sacrifice. And once they offered that sacrifice, God would show mercy and have mercy upon them. Fast forward to Samson. He had defiled the covenant that God had given him. Insomuch, he didn't acknowledge God. And because he didn't acknowledge God, God left him. He defiled his covenant. He didn't have a razor. But the Philistines did. They didn't even know what they were doing. They were setting him up for forgiveness. He was supposed to shave his head anyway. Help me out now. I'm getting there. And then, when he got to this point in the story, he says, lad, I want you to put me between two pillars. Why did he say one pillar? Just lean me on one pillar. But he didn't. He said two pillars. I want to lean up against him. And he asked God to give him strength. And what did the Bible say? And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, one of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. Now get this. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. So here's the picture. He asked God to give him strength. He had defiled his covenant. His hair had been shaved. Now all he needed to do was go to the temple and offer sacrifice. He didn't have a lamb. He didn't have a turtle dove. So he said, I'll just offer myself. And the Bible says that he put one hand on one pillar and put one hand on another pillar and asked God, says, Lord, give me strength in this hour that I might die with the Philistines. And God in his final moments gave him the strength to push over those pillars. And he died that day. And the Bible says that he killed more Philistines in his death than he did the whole time he was living. You say, Brian, how does that have to do with Jesus? Do I got to paint a picture for you? He stood on Calvary between heaven and earth. Oh, there had to be a specific sacrifice. And he said, you know what? There's enough lambs. There's enough turtle doves. There's enough bullocks. I think I'll just give myself. And he stretched forth his hand, looked up to heaven, and said, God, not my will, but thine be done. And in his death, he destroyed the enemy. Hallelujah. Woo! This is good preaching. Hallelujah. And in his death, he finally acknowledged the God of his strength. Praise God. And he gave himself so that the enemy would be destroyed. And thank God our only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, gave his life so that the enemy of our soul can be destroyed. Pastor quoted it this morning. He hath reigned until he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I couldn't help to think about this while we were sitting at Melcher Funeral Home Friday. Mike, Misty, Kenny, it's good to see you tonight. As we were sitting there with our precious mother and mother-in-law, as she was laying in the casket, a little smile on her face like Shirley always had. And all I could think of was, God, you died so that this family could have victory at this very moment in their life. And I know it was hard, and I know it's still hard, and it will continue to be hard. But y'all, you don't have to worry. She has victory tonight. And you have victory because you can see her again. Aren't you thankful for victory tonight? God gave him grace. God. I've always wanted to do this. Do this for me. Somebody say, I think my hair's growing back. Say, I think my hair's growing back. Sit over here. I think my hair's growing back. Don't worry. Don't know. You're fine. No. He wishes his hair would grow back. I know it's funny. I didn't want to say it too much because we're too carnal. We think carnally sometimes. I know it's humorous. But think about the grace of God that allowed Samson to experience grace in the moment that he needed. And tonight, some of you need grace. You need grace. And thank God the God of heaven offers it to you tonight.